Johnny Kelly, Johnny Dunstall.
My microphone is on.
My microphone is on, dickhead. My microphone is on, dickhead. And just test 1, 2.
Yeah, testing 1, 2. Oh, I got a baby girl sitting on me, and she's draped over me, having a nice little sleep. And as soon as we finish doing this, I feel like I might go lie down and have. I have an overwhelming sense of sleepiness. Overwhelming. And I've had Ritalin today too.
I'm going to try and do this podcast like Madonna and lie down.
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
How do you know if the levels are working?
Because I just looked at them.
Okay. So you don't look at it ever again? Well, you're doing a great job and I appreciate everything you do. Well,
they must
be recording a podcast. Time to bark.
I can't help but feel that that's sarcasm.
No.
Let's get all the noises and everything out of the way.
All right, everyone. Just
first and foremost, we're sorry this episode is late. We did adhere to a structure for 3 weeks and then it fell apart, which is
really hard when you've got stuff on.
Which is the Damien and
Kelly. Even now.
Don't yawn on the podcast.
I'm so tired. It's been a big week. I don't think I've watched nearly enough television, and that's disappointing.
You've watched 9 seasons of The Office, but no, you haven't watched a lot of TV.
I've rewatched The Office over weeks, mm-hmm. and I'm also dipping into the X-Files still. I had to stop watching
Bling, bling, bling.
X-Files is so good. I had to stop watching ER because it was coming up to the Valentine's Day episode, and it's too scary to watch. And then I don't even know. I did start watching on Disney. There's a paranormal, like 6 episode, kind of like Unsolved Mysteries, but it's not like paranormal, like ghosts or blah blah blah. It's actually really really well made, and it's like it's about not like, you know, sometimes you get those stories of like the Mothman or you know, that kind of stuff, but I'm just going to find it so I can read it out because it's really good. But it's stuff that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And it wasn't – it's just – it's real accounts, real interviews. And I don't know who – I don't know if it's like – remember when you would watch like the – is it 30 for 30 documentaries?
Yeah.
Like I always felt that they were really, really well made. And I feel like it's the same people that made them because it's something about when they do the chat to cameras and – all sort of stuff. It's actually very, it's just really well done.
Is it after Baywatch?
Oh no! Oh, I'm going to get to that. No, I'm going to get to that. I don't understand this because continue watching, but I have been watching. I don't know where it is. Anyway,
this is the problem, especially if you're a fastidious asshole like me. The problem with sharing your accounts with other people is they don't respect the profile. And
so do you reckon I was watching under your profile?
No, I think
I don't
maybe,
think I was.
I think maybe my mum has gone into your profile because it's the first profile and is watching documentaries.
Yeah, but this is all stuff that I did start watching. I did and then didn't finish. Like I just start watching a Jaws 50th anniversary, Miracle on the Hudson, Hurricane, Katrina, Alien Earth. Like I did, this is all stuff that I absolutely was watching. But I'm watching it on the thing in the study. So even this one here, Blood and Myth, I watched that after I watched the other show that I'm talking about.
Okay.
So why is that other show not there? Unless
I don't know, Bob.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm very tired.
Anyway, what? Why are you, what's the...
So it's not in your thing either. Anyway. Maybe we should do an intro.
This is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick, the only podcast where Kelly will fuck around on Amazon Prime for 5 minutes at the beginning of every episode, the beginning ending of every episode. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of remote school to be frustrated out of my mind. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Garden.
Yeah.
She is Kelly Big Whoop, want to fight about Fistuka. Here she is.
That's me. You know, look, life is what we make it. And what have you been watching, Damien? Oh, there it is. Out there, Crime of Paranoia. Crime of Paranormal.
Crimes of the Paranormal.
Yes. Yes, there it was. It's called Out There, Crimes of the Paranormal. 8 true crime cases.
We're not at our best today,
we
kids.
We have shocking encounters with paranormal. So the web. Yeah.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Yeah,
can we go through? Let's read through the episode.
Web of the Lizard People. So basically, this one is about, because it's about crime. So this one was about a guy who was so obsessed with the lizard people.
Mate.
And he thought everyone was lizard people that he made a bomb and like set it off in like a street in Canada.
This is like
so
going.
He killed people because he was like, do you know what I mean? It's.
This is like going to Mike Myers' parents' place every time you.
No, but.
Every time.
It's not about.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
It's not about lizard people. It's about the crimes, apparently. It's like. So he was. He went crazy and thought lizard people. And then the. Like. The Pope Lick of. Oh, yeah. So the Goatman one. There's a particular bridge in this town where people have died. And they've died because they're walking over the bridge and they fall off.
Mm-hmm.
But people keep on saying that they see a goat man. A man with the head of a goat.
Goat man,
yeah.
Come to push
Jersey
me off
witch
the
hunt.
Bridge.
There's a witch ones about witches. Interstellar Voyager. Man, it was actually really good. Actually, whoever. So who made it? Star. I don't know who Star are.
It's a channel.
Yeah. Well, mate, very, very well made. Like, easy to watch. And, like, interesting. And it wasn't like, ooh, ooga booga stuff. It was like, huh. You know what I mean? It was actual facts. Mm-hmm. But their paranoia, they were debunking the paranormal element of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because with the interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
But also invented, you know, the true crime that came with it and stuff like that. It's very fucking, it was good, man. I like stuff like that. And it was fresh, you know? Anyway, I hope that was worth everyone. But look at this other thing here, the 90s, the last great decade. I would absolutely watch this.
I'm never interested in that sort of navel-gazing nostalgia stuff.
Well, the other thing that
to me, that 90, I guarantee that 90s documentary, 80% of it, I'll be like,
the internet and cassette tapes, CDs.
No, it'll all be like, remember the Spice Girls? Like, yeah, I do. They fucking sucked.
Shut up.
You know what I mean?
Shut up.
Or
shut
it'll
up.
Be like, remember boy bands? Like, yeah, that's the beginning of the end. Like, the thing that the thing you're celebrating is what's everything that's fucking wrong with music now in 2025.
No, I love Take That. Yeah, you'll notice the other thing I watched is after Baywatch, Moments in the Sun. It's just 2 episodes about like Baywatch and stuff, like all the little stories and they have interviews with like the first season of Baywatch, like Billy Warlock and what was her name? Erica Nerka, whatever, the blonde chick. She was in
Nicole
Under Siege.
Nicole Eggert.
No, Erica. She was before Nicole Eggert. She was in the first season, her and Billy Warlock. And then they were both like serious actors. Because the first season of Baywatch is serious acting. And then on season 2 and 3, they kind of cottoned onto the tit and ass element. And that's when Pamela came on board and that's when they both left because they were like, oh, it's not serious acting. And then Erica went on to show her titties in Under Siege. So who's laughing now?
Oh, yeah.
But I remember my sister had a crush on Billy Warlock and he had a very Michael J. Fox-esque about him. He'd won an Emmy on like Days of Our Lives or something. Very good. It's good. It's a good doco.
I haven't really been watching anything. At this time of year, there's a lot of wrestling stuff going on, which the spare time that I do have, I end up watching that. I had a week off and I had every intention of watching so much shit and I haven't watched anything.
Because you're playing lots of video games. You were just like,
no,
just
I didn't even do that. I didn't even do that. It was just a lot of like rearranging library, very autistic stuff, like rearranging libraries and you know what I mean? Like fixing things. And I went and saw The Naked Gun. But I don't want to talk about that because we will definitely talk about it on the podcast.
I'll wait for me to see it.
Yeah, I'll make you watch it.
Okay.
I mean, I finally finished the first season of The Boys.
Oh,
we
can
quickly talk about that.
Oh, yeah, go for that. Yeah, tell me.
I
think it's great. I think the premise of
what was weird is that you kept saying, mate, when you finish the end of season one, come and talk to me. And I'm like, oh, there's going to be a big moment. And there is a massive moment, which spoilers for The Boys if you haven't watched it. you find out that Billy Butcher's wife still exists and she had the kid mm-hmm. with Homelander mm-hmm. when he raped her, although mm-hmm. now you don't know if he raped her or whether she did actually want to have sex with him or not, whether they have this family together or like mm-hmm. what, like, so I was blown away by that. And then like I come and tell you about it and you're like, yeah, I know, it's crazy, right? The evil blonde chick gets killed right at the end by Homelander. I'm like, no.
That was huge.
The Billy Butcher.
Yeah, but, well, the other bit stood out more for me because she was a main character.
You can't get any more of a main character in The Boys than Billy Butcher. He's like and Homelander are the two main
Elizabeth
characters. Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue would have been first on the call sheet and they psychoed her. They killed her off in the first season. Like in Psycho when they killed off the main character in the first, 45 minutes.
Yes, which was a shock. But then
it's a good episode. I told you. What do you want me to say? What do you want from me?
I can only imagine watching Empire Strikes Back with you. Where you're like, mate, when you watch Empire Strikes Back, come and talk to me. And I'm like, oh my God, Luke is Darth Vader's son. And you're like, yeah, but what about Lando? Han has a friend called Lando.
No, it's different. They killed off a main character. You fucking Fanook. Listen, I told you to watch it years ago. And now you're like, oh, I'm watching this show called The Boys. I'm like, yes, I told you about this. You refuse to watch it because God forbid someone tell him, give him some advice. Because the minute you give Damien any kind of advice, he will reject it on purpose because he cannot be told. So I'm glad you like it. Now watch season two because it actually rams up.
I am. I've downloaded season two onto my iPad and I'll watch it.
On your iPad? What are you, a boomer?
I watch it.
My iPad. I've got my shows, my stories. You know, I love that Below Deck show. And what's that other show with the guy from the thing?
Hush. For the listener, I watch shows on my iPad on the train to and from work because we now live in the middle of nowhere and it takes me a while to get to work in the morning. So I've started putting TV shows on my iPad to make the journey somewhat tolerable.
All right. Darling.
But if that makes me a boomer, then so be it. I'm getting a little bit sick of being called old in this house. I had my two closest friends here last night. They spent the whole night telling me I'm a fucking old man. And now, today, you're telling me I'm a boomer because I use a fucking iPad.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got boomer qualities. What are you missing?
What am I meant to be watching it on? I don't want to watch it on my phone. It's too fucking small.
I don't know. Just something about an iPad when it comes to boomers where they're like I've had boomers on their iPad take a photo.
Well, I'm not doing that.
Of something.
I read comics on it. The reason why I have an iPad is I like comics and I read comics on it.
Yeah.
Is that fine with you?
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
And I write notes with it. You will and then I watch wrath. TV shows on it.
You will feel my
And I read books on it.
You are just a big fucking nerdlinger. Nerd. And that's okay. We embrace that in that house.
Yeah, and you're a jock boy. And
we're allowed to. We embrace it. We embrace nerds here. Okay?
My house should be a safe space for my interests, and I feel like they're not. I'm just looking at because we've got our Disney Plus interface up on the TV because we don't leave this room ever. And I'm just seeing like the thumbnail for Thunderbolts, the new Avengers. Fuck, that sucked.
Did it really?
I don't think I ever talked about. Can I just like go off on Marvel for 2 seconds? Go. What is frustrating, the reason why capitalism ruins everything?
Okay.
Stay with me.
Oh, boy.
Stay with me. This isn't going to be a socialist rant. Is that the Marvel, the MCU should have ended at the end of Avengers Infinity War, blah, 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 blah. The minute that Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and ScarJo were out, that's it. You end it. You can still do Marvel stuff, but that universe is dead, gone. Move on to the next thing.
The minute those actors started doing their signature, in the cast credits.
It's the wank. One of the wankiest things in Hollywood history.
In Hollywood history.
A fucking high bar, my friend.
Like, talk about jumping the shark. When those signatures were there, I just was like,
They should have had like a little like pen scratching sound effect.
Lame, yeah. It was the lamest thing. And I actually was like, oh, this is actually their lame way of going, the story is closed.
But then they just write a fucking story. They were just fucking the carcass of the MCU. Been going on for, when did Infinity Wars come out? Before COVID?
Yeah.
So it's been 5-6 years of Marvel just dead corpse.
Oh, write a story.
And it's still going. Like Thunderbolts is still, it's like, oh, hey, this is fucking Black Widow's sister. And Captain America's best friend and fucking Black Widow's dad, but not really his dad. And like, and the weird thing about Thunderbolts was that I got gaslit by people of like, it's actually a really important film. It's actually a really great film about mental health and stuff. Because it's like one of the kid who ends up being the bad guy in it, his power is that he sort of like consumes everything with his darkness, so it's like a metaphor for depression. Fuck off and die. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, just what should have happened with Marvel is, and the Fantastic Four movie, not good. I haven't elaborated on it, but I've said it the last couple of weeks. Not a good film, not good at all. But that should have been the beginning. Like, have a 5-year break and then be like, okay, we're starting again with a whole new story. We're starting in the 60s, Fantastic Four. It's actually got nothing to do with these heroes over here. And we'll start again.
Why does everything suck so much?
Because of money. They won't let go of this universe because it was so successful and it made so much money. So they won't try anything new.
Just give me a new X-Files. Come on.
Which is actually insane because DC, their major competitor, did the complete opposite of that, right? Got rid of everything, cancelled everything, we're starting fresh. And then they made Superman, which is not only the best superhero movie of this year, it may be one of the best superhero movies of all time. In my opinion, it's right up there. Like, it's right up there with, I think The Dark Knight Rises is overrated, but I understand everybody else loves it. Batman 1, like the original Batman, the original Superman, the first Iron Man. It's up there with all those movies. If we're just talking about superhero films.
Okay.
So just start again. Do something different. Start something, do something new. Allow different storytellers to tell. Like, and the most insane thing about it, Stooks, is that the framework for it is there in comics. Let five different directors make 5 different Superman films.
It's just so boring, isn't it?
You know? Well, it's boring because people make boring decisions because it's all based around money and spreadsheets. Rather than allowing people to, it's like, okay, well, if superheroes are the big thing at the moment and they make money, that's cool. Okay, keep making those films, but let people tell their own versions of the story, like DC's done with James Gunn.
Yeah.
James Gunn has come in and done his version of Superman, which people love. You know what I mean? But
it's
not everything.
It's too woke for me.
Oh, that's
too woke. It's a story about a man who cares about people. Too woke.
Yeah, it's going to be one of the biggest films of all time, so I wouldn't worry about that. Go woke, go broke. I mean, should we talk about Superman on?
Sure, we can talk about Superman.
Because we watched it. You sound very interested in talking about it.
No, we can talk about Superman. I thought it was really good, but I think I was just in a mood where everything that's happening in the world is really depressing and it's really bringing me down. And then there was just too
many. Don't bring me down.
Bruce. And there's just too many elements of Superman where it was just too. It was too
woke.
Real.
That's what Kelly kept saying to me. She was like, this is too woke.
It was too real and bad things were happening in this film and it felt very fucking real and too close to reality and it was making me really sad and it was depressing. It was just really depressing for me. That's all.
It's a really, like, I'm not necessarily saying that your take is wrong at all, because obviously it's subjective and it's your opinion. But it was a very interesting point of view to see it through your eyes, watching it the second time. When I watched it the first time, I bounded out of the theater being like, ah, man, you know, like, there is, like, there is hope. I know it's just a dumb superhero movie. Mm. It's like, there is hope for humanity. Like, humans are inherently good people and they will try and help each other out. And this is an example, like, because I know you're going to be like, yeah, but a film doesn't change anything. The world is still shit and blah, blah. But art can give people a different perspective on things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if kids see, like, you know, I mean, this gets spoken about with sport all the time, that, like, athletes are role models, so blah, blah.
Mm.
If a generation of kids go to the cinema and they see this Superman, I think it has a positive influence on people's behaviours and attitude. You might, like...
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe I mean, we're extrapolating. I understand that an adult listening to this conversation would be like, oh, it's just a fucking kids movie. But also, we deal in pop culture, so, like, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think it's just from a comic book fan point of view.
Yeah.
I just think it was so nice and relieving, and I felt very comfortable to be watching a Superman played by David Corenswet that is exactly how Superman should be.
Mm.
You know, there's a fight scene. So full spoilers for this film, if you haven't seen it, guys. There's a fight scene in the middle of the film where, like, Lex Luthor lets this, like, alien out on Metropolis to basically distract Superman while he's doing a bunch of evil shit. and he's, you know, he's fighting this alien, but he's making sure that the alien doesn't fall on a building because it's got people in it. And then he, like, flies over here and makes sure that, like, a dog is saved.
Mm.
So much so that he saves a squirrel, right? Now, I know a lot of people, there'd be a lot of hardline shitposting cunts out there that would watch that and be like, oh, that's so fucking lame. That is the core of who Superman is as a character in the comics. You know, that's why a lot of people look at Superman as a character and it's like, oh, he's boring, he's this and that. I think people, having now seen someone make a film with that version of Superman in it and make a fantastic film, it's confirmed everything I thought about the type of people who were like, Superman's boring, blah, 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 for the last 30 years, is that they're morons. They don't have any human empathy. They think that comic book characters are all about, like, hitting and just, like, you know, vigilante justice and stuff. And comic books have never been about that.
Mm.
Growing up, reading them, it was about, you know, David winning over Goliath, which I know people will say, well, Superman is Goliath, but he never is.
Mm.
Because the thing about Superman is that his strength, like, all the strengths that he has, also brings all this responsibility. And that's
power comes great responsibility,
right? But that's why that line from Spider-Man subsists, right? Because with these kind of characters, that's the core of their conflict, you know. And that's what Gunn did really well in this film, is that Superman is constantly being pulled in every direction at all times.
It actually just makes this film made. Humans appear exactly as they really are, which is stupid. Humans are so fucking dumb and stupid in this film. And they're also really, like, a lot of them aren't appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he's, like, literally saving people that are in a building. Like, and of course people are working in an office building and there's an alien out there and they're just like, better go about your work. You know, like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you'd think they'd have a stay-at-home mandate when there's, like, aliens in the city, whatever.
No, there wouldn't be. No. That's the most realistic thing in the film. If there was an alien in the middle of Melbourne, if an alien landed tonight and just started wrecking Melbourne, we'd still both have to go in the office tomorrow.
Yeah.
There'd be no...
No, but what about the cafes? What about the cafes?
Yeah, what are the small business owners going to do?
What, like, about Gloria Jeans
and Starbucks?
Oh, fuck off, cunt. But I just felt like humans are really stupid and they are dumb, but But I also was like, agreed with it. I also was like, oh, yeah, everyone's so fucking dumb in this film because humans are stupid. And that's why I think I got so depressed watching it, because it really did show humans for what they are, which is ungrateful, unappreciative, selfish cunts. The one thing I did like about it was that they definitely had some kind of Israel and Palestine storyline happening, and they painted the Israel pretend side as being the absolute fucking monsters that they are.
Yeah.
I'm not holding back. They're fucking monsters, what they're doing over there in Palestine, Gaza. Mm-hmm. Fucking man-made famine is very rare. Fuck you. But this movie went, well, we're just going to show that in this universe.
Yeah.
And it was, vulgar and gross. And I think that's the thing that people must be watching going, oh, it's too woke, because it's probably making them really look at what's happening over there. And they should be looking at what's happening over there and not be okay with it.
The only people who are saying that are fucking Rupert Murdoch's bots and fucking Israeli bots on fucking Twitter.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I didn't hate it.
I thought it was good. I actually thought the casting of that film was exceptional. Like, there's many times we've watched things where I'm like, oh, that was, you know, they should have had. I remember when we were watching High Potential and the cop in that is, like, too handsome?
Yeah.
It should be played by, like, Dennis Franz or something. Like, it should be, like, a realistically looking guy, not a fucking hot cop.
Everybody in that police bullpen is, like, a fucking 10.
And I don't like it. It's not. But this movie here, I did feel like there was. I thought the Lois was excellent.
Yeah,
Superman was excellent. Olsen, I thought it was really, and also Nicholas Holt can do no wrong.
Yeah,
I can't tell you a film he's done that I'm like, man, he made a bad choice. He was a child actor about a boy when he was like 10.
Yep,
and it's like him, Robert Pattinson, and Harry Potter,
Daniel Radcliffe.
Right, three kids who had the potential of fucking it up, really fucking it up, and they fucking didn't.
I got a fourth one for you.
Yeah?
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, 100%. Had all of them, they could have gone down, you know, drugs, bad film. They could have Danny Bonaducci themselves, and they fucking didn't, man. Like, especially like Radcliffe and that and Pattinson, they make really good film choices.
Yeah.
But Holt, man, he was in that, what was that vampire movie that we liked?
Renfield.
Yeah. He was good so good. It was in the
completely Nosferatu. Underrated film that just came and went.
Underrated.
Yeah.
Very good film. Very underrated.
Super fun film.
Mate, Nicholas Holt is getting up there with my Gosling and my, who's the guy you love?
Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
Yeah. He's really another one.
I didn't realize he was the lead in the latest 28 days.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Right. He's a chameleon. He's in films where I'm like, oh, that's him. He always looks really different. He's like Sebastian Stan, you know, like he really takes on the look and feel and blah, blah. Man, really A pluses, Nicholas Holt. Then he was in Mad Max, you know, like a crazy, like, fuck, man, what a good kid. Love him.
I think this film, not to bang on and on about it, but I think Gunn is making a few points that are crucial and that I really enjoyed seeing in a film like this. One is, don't trust billionaires.
No.
Right? Like, we're going back to making billionaire. Like, in comics when I was growing up, the billionaire was always untrustworthy. Well, they were millionaires in the
80s. Yeah, Gene Hackman, remember?
Lex Luthor was always untrustworthy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know there's Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne are also millionaires, but they use their money for good instead of evil, right? So Lex Luthor is a bad guy. He's awful. He's the worst. He kidnaps a fucking dog. Like, he's bad.
I didn't like that part of the storyline.
Yeah, but you're not meant to. Like, it's meant to, like, there's no, Lex Luthor is the fucking worst. But more importantly, what this film shows is that just because you're the strongest or the most powerful person, it doesn't mean you use that power or strength to bully people, that you use it for the benefit of everybody. And what I also like about this film is that the media, so journalists, can, even though early, I know you're going to be like, early on, Lois Lane was a bitch to Superman. But ultimately, it's the press that gets the story out about Lex Luthor. Mm. And to not lose faith
in the press.
Yes, in the press, because it's an important pillar of society. Yeah, I know. I understand. I think you, like, I'm not saying that your reaction to the world right now is wrong. Obviously, it's not. But this film is trying to remind us in a kid's movie that, hey, these are the things that are important. Freedom of press, not allowing bullies to win, and making sure that when you have strength that you stand up to the plate and do something, you know? I think they're really important takeaways to have. And also, like, don't get me wrong, this film isn't like a self-serious film. It's super funny, light, bright. Mm. The action sequences are great. Mm. There is, like, watching it through your eyes, there was like, oh, yeah, this does sort of go, like, the tension with Superman goes on for a long time in the film where, like, a lot of bad things happen to him for a long period of time in the film. Mm. But it does make the ending of the film super sweet for me. Like, I was really, like, there are a couple of times where I got a bit emotional in this film. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I tell you, I do rate, someone I do feel bad for is Bradley Cooper, because he has been really pushing out some great films and some really great performances. And if I were him, I'd be sad, because you can just tell he wants to win an Oscar for acting so fucking badly. Like, yes, he's a hot guy, but he did the Actors Studio way back when. He asked, you can see the footage of him as a little kid, you know, asking De Niro questions about acting. Like, he is an actor in that way. He wants to be Robert Redford. He wants to be all those things. And I just feel really bad for him, because I think that because he played a few bad boys and, you know, like The Hangover or whatever, that he gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah.
Because even in this, like, he's playing the dad, you know.
Superman's dad.
Yeah. And, I just think everyone looks at him as this, like, really hot guy, but he's – yeah, but I can just tell, maybe you feel bad for him, because he's like literally pumping out incredible performances. Look, A Star Is Born, I'm pretty sure most of the people who have played that part before won an Oscar, right?
Yeah.
Or got that kind of acclaim, not him. And he was excellent in it. Anyway, I'm just saying. I don't know why I feel bad for him, but I just remember him as the dad in it.
Yeah. Okay, well.
How many grumps?
I'm giving it 4.5 grumps.
Oh, really? What's the half grump?
Because I don't know if the film is worth fought. Like, you know, it's not at the same level as, what are some films I've given 5 to on here?
Actually, I don't feel bad for Bradley Cooper anymore.
What was the Emma Stone? I always forget. Poor Things. Like, it's not as good a film as Poor Things. But, like, for the type of film it is, when I'm reviewing a film, I'm not reviewing Superman against, like, Full Metal Jacket. I'm reviewing it against, like, Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four, which I saw both films one day after the other.
Mm.
Fantastic Four was, like, 1.5 grumps, and Superman was 4.5 grumps. Because it's well acted, well directed, well written, has good subtext, and understands Superman as a character.
Hmm. I don't feel bad for Bradley Cooper anymore, because looking at his Wikipedia, he's dating Gigi Hadid, which is like, she's like a really young model. There's like 20 years difference between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. What a dickhead.
Yeah,
well. I don't know. I feel like I want to give it 3.5 grumps, because it's good, but it made me too depressed. Sorry, guys.
Well, there you have it.
It's a good movie, but I just give me aliens, give me supernatural. I need to disconnect from reality.
Yeah, but that's what they've been doing for 15 years, and every single movie fucking sucked. Sometimes you have to have some substance in the film to make it memorable and interesting to watch. You know, like, films should challenge you a bit. You know, even if it is, I think that's what's great about this movie, is that you sit down to watch this, like, kids movie, and it's like it's reminding you, like, hey, man, the world is not great, but there are ways to improve it. And here they are.
Yeah, you know.
Anyway.
Whatever.
I'm also a giant nerd. I love Superman. I'm probably getting too carried away with it, but I just love the movie. I can't wait to see what James Gunn does with the rest of the films, because Green Lantern's in it and Hawkgirl's in it and, like, Mr. Terrific.
I mean, I hope for the best. I really do hope for the best, but I just feel like all this superhero stuff, I just cannot be asked. It's all just doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, if you, that's the same, like, that's all movies.
No, but I want a story.
Anyway. There was a story in this, but you didn't like it because it was too real. No,
superhero stories. It's like, oh, God, it's just, it's like, okay, every meeting starts like this. Okay, so it's a superhero. Go on, and then whatever, who cares? It's a superhero that mows the lawn. Wow.
God, 20 million. I would love that. The lawnmower, man.
Yay! All right. Bigger. All right. I got to go. I'm really tired. Thanks all for listening.
Well, when it's time to sleepy, it's time to end the body. Thanks for listening. Thanks for rating and reviewing. Some people did that on Spotify this week. We appreciate it. Yeah. And listenership is up again. We appreciate that. We love you guys very much. I love you, baby. Let's go.
I love you. Bye. We'll be right back.